7:45 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, though, hale and hearty from the Zone Studios. Let's bring in our buddy Brad Crawford from 24/7 Sports. Of course, he writes about college football. Brad, good morning.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Before we get into coaches on the hot seat, and put this in its proper perspective, the Ivy League, of course, opted to punt on all fall sports, perhaps moving them to the spring, which includes football. Do you think that's going to have any effect at all on the rest of the college football world?
I don't think it affects Power Five programs, but group of five programs potentially. Several group of five coaches that we've been in contact with, you know, recently have said if there's no football this season and no football in the spring, you could see a lot of varsity sports, you know, being cut at those smaller programs. And let's face it, man, it's going to hurt Power Five schools as well if we don't have a football season. So while the Ivy League decision yesterday was definitely a black eye for the sport and potentially damning, I don't think it affects, you know, the Power Five ranks too much. Here we are about probably 3 or 4 weeks away from knowing if we'll have a season or not.
Your colleague at The Athletic, Andy Staples, wrote about this yesterday, and that is coaches having a force majeure clause in their contracts. It does exist for a number of coaches, which would mean if there was no college football, their contracts could be voided.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest too, man. Even if we have a full college football season, I mean, how many schools out there are going to be able to, one, afford buyouts to fire coaches, and two, you know, pay a new head coach a lucrative, you know, 5 to 7 year deal with this pandemic that's really expected to, you know, knife football revenue by, what, nearly 80-85% at most universities. So while we may see some coaching changes at the end of this season if we have a full year, any of those coaches with those high buyouts, maybe like a Will Muschamp at South Carolina is $13 million, I think, in December. You know, I don't see schools, football programs having the money to do that.
All right, on to your hot seat ranking, which is always fun this time of year, unless you're one of the people you're writing about. And in town here in Nashville, Derek Mason has to be feeling the heat at Vanderbilt, doesn't he?
Yeah, man. You know, the old saying in coaching is you never want to be the guy who follows the guy, and that just happened to be what, you know, Derek has in Nashville. James Franklin sort of, you know, made expectations borderline unobtainable, in my opinion, with those back-to-back 9-win seasons. And Derek, I think over 7 years now, hasn't had a winning season yet. He did get to that bowl game, but, you know, it looks like Derek's trajectory is headed in the wrong direction. And while he's a great guy and a respected defensive-minded coach, he just hasn't got it done at the Vanderbilt level that they want to see.
The other one that really kind of grabbed me a little bit was Scott Frost, because, you know, that's a guy who had a tremendous amount of success at Central Florida, and he goes back to his school. He was a hot commodity any way you look at it, but it seems like the honeymoon, if it isn't over, is near the end there for Frost in Nebraska.
My colleague at CBS, Dennis Dodd, had him as a 5 on the hot seat scale, meaning if he doesn't win this year, he's out. I'd probably have him 2 or 3 just because I still think the Nebraska fan base and the administration especially support Scott. You know, they thought it was a home run hire 2 years ago. I think all of us media folks almost unanimously thought the same. So, you know, the first half of the season for Nebraska, in my opinion, is huge for Scott Frost. You know, if he wants to get to bowl eligibility, he's going to have to, you know, win 4 or 5 of those games in the first half. You look at the final 5 weeks of the season for the Huskers, man, it's brutal. They've got Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. That's 5 games against probably 4 top 15 teams. So if Nebraska's 3-3 heading into that, you know, final stretch, they're not going to a bowl game. And I think heading into the 2021 season, Scott Frost will be coaching for his job.
Speaking of Brad Crawford of 24/7 Sports.
Well, Brad, man, speaking of coaches, and I've kind of been real critical of Jimbo Fisher and what he's done there at Texas A&M with that Texas talent. Has he lived up to expectations?
I think so far he's about where I thought he would be. You know, A&M's a program where I think last summer I put them on the teams on the rise, and on the rise meaning the 2020 season is going to be huge for Jimbo. You know, he has a senior quarterback in Kellen Mond. I think if you talk to Jimbo personally, he'll tell you that this is the best team he's had so far in College Station, but he still doesn't have, you know, the signature win. He's lost to Clemson twice. He has several, you know, games against ranked teams in the SEC he hasn't beaten. He did win that 7 overtime game against LSU a couple years ago. That was a real fun one. But yeah, this is a very big season for Texas A&M. I think the over-under win total for most odds makers is 8.5. So if you see an 8-4 season out of the Aggies this fall, you know, it'll be a disappointment. And you know, the Texas A&M invested $75 million over a decade in Jimbo to not just win the SEC West, but compete for college football playoff berths. And this is a very big year for him.
Do you think there's a possibility, if things get delayed in college football, could spring ball actually work? And if you believe that, then how would you think it should be structured, or when should it start?
Yeah, I think spring ball from a revenue standpoint would work, because you're going to have, you know, college football fans who, let's face it, haven't attended a game in a year, anxious to get back to the stadium. Whether social distancing measures are in place and we see 15% to 20% capacity, I'm not sure. But I think the main draw of spring football, man, would be we would have 6 months more to learn about this virus, potentially get a vaccine out. Who knows if it would work or not? And you sort of just delay the timeline a bit. But you know, right now here we are, early July. The past couple weeks have not been good for college football as far as trying to project us playing the first weekend of September. And I will say this: if we do have a spring season, some of the biggest names in the sport, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Ja'Marr Chase, I don't think those guys are going to play. There's no way with the NFL draft in late April, you're going to have, you know, projected first round picks risking injury in the month leading up to the draft. If I was one of those guys, I sure would play.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, just kind of interesting, just kind of statement here. I just want to get your thoughts on it. You know, why do we think that college football can happen when the rest of the country, you know, and businesses can't even open 100%?
Yeah, that's a very good question, man, and that's the one I think everybody's asking right now. I think you're going to see over the next few weeks with the NBA beginning back at Disney World and Major League Baseball trying to play, you know, college football administrators and the decision makers are going to kind of look at those two leagues and how they're doing that. One thing I've heard, though, that if we have a season that starts on time, you know, testing for players every week is going to be a costly measure for these universities. And they're already losing major revenue because we're not going to see, you know, capacity stadiums this fall. So I think the best case scenario, though, is, you know, we still start the first week of September. If we have to move to a conference only schedule, so be it. But the number one priority is making sure these student athletes are safe and they're getting the proper care necessary to not catch this virus.
He's pumping out the product for sure for 24/7 sports and CBSSports.com. Brad Crawford, great stuff as always. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you down the line.
Talk to you all soon, fellas.
All right. Straight ahead, why we should take Nashville's initiative for a Major League Baseball franchise a lot more seriously. 7:54 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.